Good morning. Today we're going to start the sugya of Shomrim. And the sugya, what we're going to deal with is a responsibility for caring for other people's money. Now, a simple case is your neighbor goes away for a few days, gives you, and before they leave, they bring over their jewelry or valuables for you to watch. That's a simple case of a Shomer. But as we're going to see, there are many other applications. Whenever you send someone to buy something for you, a shliach, you're acting as a shomer as well. When you buy it, when you purchase the item for someone, you're now caring for someone else's item. You have the obligations of a shomer. Whenever you borrow something, you're using someone else's item. That shoyel is also one of the forms of a shmirah. And lastly, any uman, any craftsman, if you have an item, you bring a suit to the tailor, to the cleaners. So the uman, the person who's working on it, also while he's holding on to your item, has the din of a shomer as well. Now, before we go through the pratim, I'm just going to start with a very basic overview of the different types of shmirah that we have and the types of chiyuvim. There are four types of shomrim. The first is a shomer chinam. Someone who voluntarily watches someone else's item, he's doing it as a favor, he's not getting paid, he has a din of a shomer chinam. Now the general rule in life is you get what you pay for. And therefore, since this shomer is doing it as a favor, he's not getting paid in any way, he has very minimal responsibilities. If anything happens to the item, if he's negligent, if he's pesheya, he's going to be responsible to pay. But in the absence of negligence, if anything else happens, he has no responsibility. He was doing you a favor, and all he has to do is just a basic standard of care, and that's it. The other extreme is a shoyel, someone who borrows an item. So here, the person who borrows the item has all the benefits. He has free use. He's not paying for the use. So because he has the kol hanasha loy, he has all the benefits. He has the free use of the item. He has all responsibility. And if anything happens, even if it's an oinus, even if it's something that he could not have reasonably guarded against, still, he has full responsibility. Once he has it, since he's getting all the benefits, he has a very high level of responsibility for the item. The two major exceptions by a shoyel is that even a shoyel, if it is meis machas malacha, If the item is damaged or destroyed because of a normal use, even a shoyel is going to be pater. And then there's the concept of ba'al avimai. Whenever the owner of the item is working for the shomer, for the shoyel, at the time that the she'ela begins, the shoyel is relieved of his responsibilities. And that we'll get to in Mirtz Hashem when we discuss the halachos of shoyel. But you should keep in mind that this Torah of Baal Avimai, although it's discussed by a shoyel, it applies to all of the shomrim. The middle two categories of shmirah are a shomer sachar and a soicher. A shomer sachar is someone who's paid to watch an item. Since he's paid to do it, he's not a volunteer, he's gaining from it, so he has a higher level of responsibility. His responsibility is somewhere between a shomer chinam and a shoyel. Shomer chinam has no benefit. A shoyel, the shoyel has all the benefit. A shomer sachar and a soicher are in between. And therefore the halacha is that they are responsible both for negligence, for pshia, and for gneiva and aveda. If it gets lost or it gets stolen, they are responsible as well. But for an oinus, if it's something that could not have reasonably been avoided, it's stam an oinus, lightning strikes, it dies, there, a shomer sachar, even though he's paid to watch it, is going to be pater. A soicher, someone who rents an item, there is a machlokes. We paskin, he has the din of a shomer sachar. And again, it's this middle level. He's responsible for gneiva aveda, he's responsible for negligence. But if it's an oinus, if it's something that cannot have been avoided, then a soicher is going to be pater. So now that we have an overview of the different types of shomrim, let's discuss the actual chiyuv and the actual obligations. To begin with, when does a shomer become responsible for an item? How do you become a shomer? Now, as we've discussed many times, when we're dealing with choshen mishpat, let's say you want to sell your car. You may have decided you want to sell it to a particular person at a particular price. He may have decided he wants to buy it. You may have a verbal agreement. But until you do some sort of formal act, until you, there's a Maisa Kinyan, the car still belongs to the seller. You need a Hagba, Meshicha, Kesef, whatever the Kinyan would be, whatever's appropriate for Metalkalin. And until the Kinyan takes place, although you want to sell it, he wants to buy it, the car did not change ownership. On the other hand, when we learn Hilchos Schiras Poylim, when you hire a worker, you generally don't do hagba on a worker. You don't pick him up in order to make this contract, to make this employment agreement binding. So there we discuss ba'arichos, there's a concept of haskalos malacha. Once a worker begins the job, you hire him to paint your house. The moment he starts the job, in many cases, the fact that he actually showed up, the fact that he traveled, that's haskalos malacha, and at that point, the arrangement is binding on both parties. How do we deal with shomer? When does a shomer become responsible for the item? So this is actually a machlokes rishonim. The gemara that we had in the Maror Mekoyimus today says, "Kashem shtiknu mishicha b'lekucha is katechnu mishicha b'shomerim." Some rishonim learn in this gemara that to become a shomer, to become responsible for an item, you have to do mishicha. You have to actually physically take it into your possession. In the absence of Mashiach, if you don't do a Maisa Kenyan, then the halacha is you will not be responsible for the item. Other Rishonim argue. Other Rishonim say that no. The moment the owner was Misalek Shmira, the moment you told the owner, don't worry, I have it, I'll take care of it, and the owner walks away, he is no longer in a position to watch it. You are the only one who's able to watch it. Some Rishonim say that is enough. And the Shmira starts right then and there. Yeah, it will be a Din D'Oraisa. So why is a good question? Machne Ephraim is Matmio, you know, it seems to be a new Lamdus, but the Rishonim hold, yes, that would work even D'Oraisa. Now, this very often, there's a tremendous nafkamina between these Shitas. What happens, a person is, so someone's learning in a Beis Medrash, and his Chavrusa comes to him, he's going out for a while, he asks him to watch something for him. He says, okay, just put it down over here, I'll take care of it. Puts it down on the table next to him, and he walks out. Now, in that case, did the Chavrusa do a Maisa Kinyan? Did he actually physically take the item into his possession? No. He said he just left it on the table. So if you hold that you need a Maisa Kinyan, so in that case, you're not a Shomer. And if the item is lost, if it's stolen, or for that matter, even if there's negligence involved, because the shomer never became a shomer, he never took it into his possession, the halacha is he would be patur. Mashen came the other rishonim, the Rosh and Tosfos, that hold you do not have to do an actual meshicha. The very fact that you told the owner, I will watch it, and based on that, the owner walked away, he was misalik his shmira. So according to these rishonim, the fact that you said, I have it, you can go, that you immediately would become a shomer, and you'd be responsible to pay. I tell Machan Ephraim, that is Machan Ephraim's kasha. He says, well, we don't find such a kinyan. The Ktzois is medame it to Haskalos Malacha by Schiras Poylo, which is why I gave that introduction. That the moment he starts watching it, just like if you hire a worker, when he starts watching it, it's a kinyan. So a shomer that says, I will watch it, and you leave it in front of him, and now it's in his, he's guarding it, it's in front of him, so that perhaps is Haskalos Malacha, and that perhaps is a reason to be chayiv. But again, that's a tzayis machif. What? Well, if you say put it right here in front of me, I have it. I'm watching it. That's the haskalas malacha. If it's within dalad amos, if it's in a simta, then dalad amos is a kinyan. Because if you put it in someone's house or in his chatzar where there's a kinyan chatzar, you don't need to do a ma'is mashicha. Chatzar is a perfectly fine kinyan, and There are kashas on the sheets that hold the Mashiach from cases in the Gemara where you said Hanoch Lefanai, that's enough. One of the terutzim is it's within Dalet Amos, it's in a simta, and therefore you have a therefore there's a kinyan, and therefore Lekulei Amos you become a shomer. But if you're in a Rishus Rabim, if you're in a place where either it's not within Dalet Amos or Dalet Amos is not a kinyan in a Rishus Rabim, so in such a case then it would depend on the sheets. Now, in a similar case, there's a similar case where a person, also Bachar in Yeshiva, is going home for Shabbos. He says, do me a favor, take this package with me, with you, bring it home. He says, okay, just put it next to my dorm room. Sure enough, the person forgot all about it. He forgot to go pick up the package. He just went home. And they came back after Shabbos, the package was gone. So here also, if you hold you need a kinyan to become a shoyimer, certainly there was no kinyan. The fact that the owner left the bag outside of a dorm room is certainly not a ma'aseh kinyan. Now, over here, even according to the Rosh, that you do not need a kinyan, the Zakhna Nesiva is here, everyone would agree you're not a shoyimer. Because even according to the Rosh, he says the only case that you become a shoyimer is when the owner gave up his shmirah, he walked away, and left it in a place where the shoyimer had control, he was able to watch it. On the other hand, in this case, when you knew the shoyimer was in the base measure, you said, just leave it near the dorm. Leave it near my dorm room. So when you dropped it off over there, at the point, when you dropped it off, well, when the owner was mesalek shmirah, it's true the owner walked away. But he knew at that time the shomer was not there to watch it. Since he was not, at the time that the owner walked away, the shomer was nowhere to be found. He was not capable of watching it at that point. There the Nesiva says, in that case, everyone would agree, you do not have a din of a shomer whatsoever. So in all those cases, the halacha is, at least in Hilchos Shmirah, there would be no chiyuv. You never became a shomer. The chiyuvim never actually started. There is an Aruch HaShulchan that has a chiddush. And he says like this, if you tell someone, go leave the bag over there, I'll be the shomer. So it's true, if you didn't pick it up, you never did a ma'aseh kinyan, you never become a shomer. However, it's possible to be mechayvim al tmazik. If you tell a person, go put it there, I'll take care of it, and he listens to you, and he's relying on you, he's assuming that you're going to, that you're good for your word, and you will take care of it. So by putting it in a place where it's not shomer, zok the Aruch HaShulchan, you're going, even though you're not a shomer, you're going to be a mazik. And therefore, you're going to be chayiv al tzgarmi. Now, it's a chiddush, because in Hilchos Garmi, it depends where he put it. If you told him, leave it on the street in Manhattan, I'm watching it. So you can make a very plausible argument that dropping something on a street in Manhattan is ovud, it's a mazik, because it's clear that without someone watching it, it'll disappear within moments. On the other hand, if you tell them leave it in the dormitory where it's pretty secure, so it's true, it's a pshia, it's negligent, but to say that it automatically rises to a level of a mazik as a chiddush, it would depend on the case. But again, I'll call upon him. In some cases, the Aruch HaShulchan says there would be a chiyuv midin mazik. A similar point, the Ulam HaMishpat, to answer a different question, says there's a concept of arvus as well. The concept, if you tell someone in Arev, is you tell someone that you go lend money to this person, don't worry, if he doesn't pay you back, I'll take responsibility. So midin arvus, since you were moitzi atzos alpiv, since you lent money on the guarantor's word, the guarantor is responsible to pay for any loss. So similarly, Ulam HaMishpat says, if you tell the person, go put it down over there, and I'll take care of it, there's a din of arvus, and you're going to be responsible, even if you're not a shomer. Again, whenever you're dealing with arvus, the bar is much higher. It's zroik mano liyam, some shitas hold you need a benefit, it's not so clear lahalacha, but you do have, whenever you have a case of a shmira, where you're lacking the ma'aseh kinyan, you'll have to deal with, potentially you can be responsible either al tzmazik or al tz'arev. But the case is, you have two people who are in the same dorm. The shomer is in yeshiva, and he says, "Go put it over there." Now, the person who puts it there knows the shomer is not capable of watching it now. So, when he does the siluk shmira, you can't say at that point the shomer is a shomer. He's not here to watch it yet. No, Arvus does not need a kinyan. Bahiha, no. The fact that you relied on the person, this is a case where you do not need a kinyan. Every Arev, all he needs to say is, Ten loy vani etain. All you have to do is verbally tell the Malva, if you advance the money, I'll be an Arev, and that's it. The only time you need a kinyan, when it's la'achar ma'an mois. When he already lent the money, now you want to become an Arev, then you'll need a ma'isa kinyan. But otherwise, one of the chidushim of Arev is, it's deeper itself is enough.
Secondly, what if the suitcase is stolen? Is he a shomer on the given that, you know, he's not going to be having a raya, so I'm going
to
start.
Well, every shomer, if you agree to take a package to Eretz Yisrael, you are a shomer. And if while you're in the airport, you're waiting online, it gets stolen. So if you're getting paid, you're a shomer sachar, you're responsible for gneiva v'aveda. If you're a volunteer, you're doing it, you're not getting paid. So if you're negligent, if you just leave the suitcase there and you go off, you go to the bathroom and you just leave it unattended, then even if it gets stolen, but it got stolen through your negligence, you would be responsible to pay. The fact that you're a shomer chinam, the fact that you're doing someone a favor, doesn't mean you can be negligent on his item.
But when it's overweight, I mean, is that like an assumption that, look, it was overweight, he's not going, he didn't speak it out, you know, but the guy's overweight.
If it's overweight, that you have no obligation to go spend money for him. Now, if you do spend money for him and it's something which is needed, you would be able to bill him for it afterwards. But you have to be careful, because if it's something which you can say it's not worth paying the extra fee, you should have just left it there and I would have picked it up, then you might have a problem. Right. Okay, so then that runs into the sugya of Ketzer Aloyos Yischer Poros Shel Chaveiro. The Mishnah talks about a case where you have a soicher that's mashalot to someone else. It's nenas, the soicher is potter, the shayol is chayev. So the Maaser Rabbi Yosi says, Ketzer Aloyos Yischer Poros Shel Chaveiro. We'll have to discuss the Mechlokes Rishlein and what the pshat in that is. It may depend on the reasons, but at least conceptually, the Pashup Shah in the Mishnah is you can't make money off someone else's item. So Pashup Shah in the Mishnah, the owner would get it even though you're not responsible, since there was someone who took responsibility, Pashas the owner would get it. But again, it may depend on the Rishlein, but we'll get to that. You know, the person who, the point of the Aruch HaShulchan is that when you tell someone, go put it down here, I'll take care of it. So let's go with the sheet, does you need a Maisa Kenyan to become a Shomer? So when he puts it down, you're standing right there, he puts it in front of you, he's relying on you to watch it. You then walk away. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, telling someone, put it here and I'll take care of it, he says, when you're negligent, there you're Chayiv Midin Mazik. The Nesivos also uses a similar, Nesivos' case is a little bit easier. The Nesivos has a case where a person he was traveling with a donkey or was traveling with a car. Someone came over to him and said, can I send a package along with you? And he said, fine. And the fellow put it in the car, he put it in the donkey. The fellow left. And then he left the car or the donkey unattended and it was stolen. So the Nesivos over there says, you know, there's a problem with a machaber. The Nesivos says, even the shitas that hold, you need a ma'isa kinyan, here they would agree you'd be chayiv, even though there's no kinyan. Because the fact that you drove the car, you brought these this package from a place where it was shomer, and you instead took it in the middle of the street and you left the donkey unattended, he says, that's a ma'isa mazik, and therefore forget about halacha shomer, and chayiv midin mazik. What? No. He says it's chatzar mahalachas. So there's no kinyan. What? Okay, but it's not a Kenyan over there. Now, just keep in mind that this is both the Aruch HaShulchan and the Ulam HaMishpat are Chidushim. The bar to be responsible as a Mazik or as an Arev is much higher than as a Shomer. A Shomer, if you're negligent, you're responsible. A Mazik has a much higher level of it's much more difficult to be Mechayiv him when you're dealing with Garmi, and therefore it's a Chiddush, and Lav Dafka at the end of the day will you be Chayiv. So the first point that we had is that to become a shomer, it's not enough that you want to become a shomer, it's not enough that the person asked you to become a shomer. You actually have to do something to be makabel shmir. According to most shittas, you need a ma'isa kinyan. And again, you'll have mazik or arvus, but pashtus, you would need an actual ma'isa. But the next question that we have to deal with is when or what kind of language is needed for a person to become a shomer. Now the Gemara has all sorts of cases, we'll go through it briefly. That if a person comes over to you and says, can you watch something for me? So if the person says, sure, you know, give it to me, clearly he's accepting a shmir, he'll become a shomer. What happens if he responds, he says, put it down in front of me? So over here also, if you ask him to watch it, and he said, put it down right in front of me, so he's basically saying, I'm taking responsibility, and he will become a shomer, provided he has the right ma'isa kinyan. However, if his response is, hanoch lufonecha, you can put it down in front of you. So the fellow said, can you watch it for me? Your response is, you can put it down in front of you. You can just put it down, you know, keep it down by you. So here the Gemara says, that kind of language, you're making it clear you do not want to become a shomer. You're not saying, give it to me. You're saying, just leave it by you. So essentially, you're telling the person, you want to put it down, put it down. But I am not accepting responsibility. Now, what happens if you have, there's a middle case, where the person asked you to watch it, and you just said, hanoch sam, you just said, put it down. You didn't say, give it to me. You didn't say, hanoch lufonai. You didn't, on the other hand, you didn't use this language of hanoch lufonecha. You said, just put it down. So here the Gemara is unsure whether you are being a mekabel achrayus. You are unsure whether you mean to accept responsibility. Because it's a suffix, the general rule is hamotzi mechaveo avaraya, and you will not have the responsibilities of a shomer. Now, similarly, the Machane Ephraim, and the truth is Taisus brings down a mechilta, that if you don't ask the person explicitly to watch it, you just say, you know, can you keep your eyes on it, or some language like that, or just hold on to this for a second. So in that case, the Mechilta says that is not a loshon of Shemira. And even though the person accepts it, Peshtika, he is not going to be responsible. That being said, the Achroinim, the Machane Ephraim, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Nesivos, all speak out that we are not so focused on the exact language that's used. We have to take into account the whole picture. And if it's clear from the discussion, it's clear from the facts surrounding the case that the intention was for him to become a shomer and he accepted it, he's going to be responsible. So you don't have to focus so much on the exact language. The question is really, is it clear that the owner was asking you to become a shomer and you've accepted that responsibility? If the answer is yes, you're going to be responsible regardless of the exact language that was used.
What if he says, can you watch it for an hour? Does that really become a real thing, that hour? Or?
Well, he's becoming a shomer for an hour. Now, if you want to know if in an hour and 5 minutes the shmira is over, probably not. On the other hand, if he disappears and it's a few days later, so there's halacha of a shomer after the zman of the shmira, he's not a shomer anymore. Or again, it perhaps goes down a level. Shoyel becomes a shomer sakar. Again, it's a discussion we'll have to go. You know, we'll get to the sugya later. But I think clearly, just because he said an hour or he says watch it for a minute, I don't think after 61 seconds he's no longer a shomer.
So it's just masalik by itself.
Again, there is a sugya. We will see that you lav dafka become nothing. And so there, if you're a shomer, if you start off as a shomer sakar, after the zman, you will likely become a shomer chinam. Again, at some point, again, there will be different cases and different shitas, but the idea does exist. The shmir at least goes down a level after the zman is over.
Wouldn't you be a shomer aveda at that point?
Potentially, except an aveda is always generally a person loses something. So if you find that you're a shomer aveda, if the person knows good and well where it is. If I dump something in your house, I can't impose on you, force you to become my Shomer Aveda. I know where it is. If I put it in a place where I can't guard it, it's an Aveda Midas. So you would have no responsibility to watch it. So if he puts it there and he's Nanas, the person, something happened, he can't get it, then you're right. Then you would probably be a Shomer Aveda. But in a typical case, where he knows where it is, he just figures, listen, this guy looks from, he'll probably take care of it for me, that you cannot force someone to become a Shomer Aveda, Bal Karcha. Okay, no, that's partially, but that's a different discussion.
Well, there was a case that just occurred that somebody came over in there, someone came over to the airport and gave somebody a second tire. He said, could you just wait and watch it for 2 minutes while I go to the bathroom?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, anyway, he waited, the guy never showed up. So now it's boarding time, and that's it, he had to go. So he took the second tire along with him, and he gets to the other side, the guy comes up, happens to have my second tire. So the guy wants to save the ticket for the seat to save the tire. So the question is, what does he have a right now to say, okay, I'll give it to you if you have a shame to suffer?
Well, not a shomer sakar. He could probably bill him as a yoyrid. As far as these halachas are concerned, he would have every right in the airport to say, I agreed to be a shomer for a minute, for 2 minutes, for 10 minutes, but I didn't agree to take it on the plane with me. He has every right to go to the police or the lost and found and say, here, here's a safer tire when someone comes and claims to give it to him. You can't force someone to become his car service or his import-export company for Bakarchai. Now, if a person gave it for a minute and then he was nenas, he can't, you're right, then he becomes a shomer aveda. But if he knows and he's just taking advantage of it, that's called an aveda midas, and you have no chiv to go ahead and schlep it on the airplane with you.
You can't know if the other guy was nenas or not. I mean, this case is happening. It's a different story, but
Right.
You were saying, how is the Shiner Avet, how is the Shiner supposed to know if the other guy was Nemetz?
Okay, in all of Chodesh Mishpat, and in Hilchos Shmira especially, there's what the halacha is, what your chiyuvim are, and then the question is what the facts of the case are. Now, I can't tell you what the facts of the case are. You want to misafik whether you have to be choshish? Right. Some of it depends on the case. But I'll call upon him, this much is clear, that if from the conversation, from the shock of Itaria, it's clear the owner is asking you to watch it, and the person accepted it, even if he didn't use the right language, he will become a shomer. Many achronim speak out that even if the shomer didn't say anything, he's just quiet. So if you just put it down in front of him and he's silent, so then you cannot assume he accepted shmirah. Because if I go over to someone, because shtika hoida is, and I say, you owe me money. So if you don't owe me money, you're going to respond, I don't owe you money. But if I tell you, please paint my house for me, the fact that you're shosak doesn't mean now you have an obligation to paint my house. You have no reason to answer me. So over here as well, I asked you, be a shomer, which I'm asking you, do me a favor. So you don't have an obligation to jump up and down and say, no, I'm not your shomer. If you're silent, most poskim can say there's no shtika koydai and you've never accepted the shmira. Now, if you're silent, you then pick the item up, you bring it to your house, then the achronim will speak out. The fact that you picked it up, the fact that you did mashicha afterwards, shows that you are accepting responsibility. But before that, if I just say, please watch it, and before you have a chance to open your mouth, I just plop it down, so you were never in a sky of a shmira. I can't force you to become a shomer, and the halacha is you'd be pater. Now, the Minchas Yitzchok deals with an interesting case. A person comes to a yeshiva one day, knocks on the door, tells the executive director that he has a $50,000 donation from a big nadvin, and he hands him an envelope full of cash. Wonderful. The fellow puts the envelope in the drawer, gets busy with some other things. Half hour later, he gets a frantic phone call from his messenger, who said he made a terrible mistake. He was really sent to give this donation to a different yeshiva. And he wants to come and pick up the money. Fine, listen, easy come, easy go. Says, no problem, come back. Messenger comes, and the director walks into his office, and he sees the money's gone. The money's gone. So who is responsible for the money? Now, the truth is, in this case, there happens to be a technical issue. Is I don't know if you have to believe this messenger that says, I made a mistake. You give a donation, you want to claim now it was a mistake, I meant to give it to another school, you know, there's Hamoitzim Mechadeo Avaraya, Dvarm Shebelev, you'll have a serious problem proving exactly whether it really was a mistake. But assuming we can prove that, assuming we can establish that the money was not supposed to go here. Zag Minchas Yitzchak, that you gave it to the executive director. He says, the yeshiva is Pashat, is not responsible. Because what does the yeshiva have to do with this money? LMI, you want to say this director becomes a Shomer Chinam. Why is he a Shomer Chinam? Well, you never asked him to watch it. You gave it to him as a donation. Zag the Minchas Yitzchak, and there's a very similar case in the Chassam Sefer as well. In such a case, he was never Makabel Shemira, and he's going to be Patzer. Even if he was negligent, even if he left his office open, the yeshiva might be upset at him, but since he was never Makabel Shemira, he is going to be Patzer. Now, you have to, it's this halacha, although the Minchas Yitzchak and the Chassam Sefer say it is never Pashut, there are many other similar cases where the halacha is different. For example, if you buy something, we discussed at length the concept of mekartos. You buy something and there's a mum, you have the right to bring back the item and get a refund. What happens if you buy something, you realize there's a defect, and then on your way back, the item is stolen? Are you responsible for the item? So over here, the halacha is in Reish Lamed Beis, yes. You have a din of a shomer. Not only you were a shomer, you're even a shomer socher. So over there you see, even though it's a mistake, even though you didn't want the item, it was you're going back for a refund, still you have a din of a shomer over there.
Why shomer socher?
So that is machlokes rishonim. The Nesiva says because you have the right, if the price goes up, you have the right to keep it, to sell it, you can be mekadesh nisha with it, so there is some benefit involved. The other mahalach is, since the seller has your money, so you have this item is basically a mashkin, it's collateral, you're going to use this as leverage to get your money back. Since you have a benefit from holding the item, therefore you have a din of shomer socher, not a shomer chinam. Right. Goodness. And then it will be a fight between the Moisid and the executive director. He is a Shomer for the Moisid. Now, Grad will have to deal with a Shmira on Mois Aniyim, or Mois Hekdish. Well, that's a separate sugya. But conceptually, you're right. Conceptually, he is a Shomer for the Moisid. Here, the problem is it never belonged to the Moisid. Here, it's the donor or the messenger wants to be Tevei him as a Shomer. And he can say, I never became your Shomer. So it seems that in the case when there's a Mekach Tois, over there, when you buy something, even though you have the right to return it, and even though, had you been given a choice, you would have rather never gotten the item in your possession. But now that you have it, you have certain rights to it. If you decide to waive the mum, you can keep it. If the value goes up, you can keep it. You can be Mekadesh Nisha with it. It's yours. Whenever something is, you have rights to something, it's in your Rishus, there the halacha is you become a Shomer even though you never discussed being a Shomer, even though you never explicitly accepted Shmira. If you buy something with Shloshim Yoyim Tezis as a case, or if a lady gets married, she borrowed something, she brings it to her husband. In all of these cases where the person has a benefit, he has certain rights to it, even though he was not explicitly a Mekabel Shmira, he will become a Shomer. It's only in the Chasam Sofer's case, in the Minchas Yitzchak's case, where the money was given to you by mistake. Now we realize you never had any right to use the money, it's not yours. There, since you never agreed to become a Shomer, you were never interested in being a Shomer, the law is you have every right to say, take it back, and I have no responsibility whatsoever. Correct. You'll have to deal, in all these cases, we'll have to deal with whether it's a Shomer Aved. In the case of the messenger as well, if it was a mistake, we can discuss that. But I'll kopon him in a chnami. Whenever there's something which you have no rights to, it just ends up in your reshus. If someone comes and just dumps something in your house, you don't become a shomer. It's only if he asks and you accept shmira, at that point you're a shomer. But if he unilaterally puts it in your reshus, whether he does it on purpose, by mistake, unless we can create a din of a shomer aveda, you will not have any of the regular chiyuvei shmira. Okay, so now there was another interesting case that came up. A person accepted Shmira on a piece of jewelry. He was a shoyo, a sacher, it doesn't really make a difference. The fellow was taking care of the jewelry, and what happened is that one of the diamonds popped off. And what was nisbar afterwards is there was a defect in the ring, and the diamond was loose. Is the Shomer responsible for the damage? Let's use a little bit more current case, a little bit more dramatic, but this is actually a Maisa Shehoya. A person was going to Eretz Yisrael. On his way there, someone said, can you do me a big favor? My son's in yeshiva there. It's his birthday, and I know he really likes this cake. Take this cake and deliver it to him in Yerushalayim. Okay, it was a close friend, so he agreed. He takes the cake, gets on the plane, and this flight was a nightmare. There was a stopover, his kids were fetching, he was schlepping back and forth, he had a lot of stuff with him. Finally, at some point, when he's busy and it was just the stopover, he had enough, it was too difficult to go ahead and schlep this cake. So he figured, why am I schlepping this cake? What's the big deal? He opens it up, he looks at what flavor it was, looked in a happy birthday Yanko, takes the cake, dumps it in the garbage. And when he gets to Yerushalayim, he goes to a bakery, buys another cake, and delivers it to the bacher. An hour later, he gets his frantic phone call. Where's my cake? He said, what do you mean cake? I dropped it off. He said, that wasn't the cake that was sent. What turns out is that in this original cake were $150,000 of diamonds. Now, putting aside all of the other issues, putting aside any other issues, smuggling, dina malchus adina, what is the halacha in Hilchos Shmira? Are you responsible for the diamonds?
Talmud.
What?
Talmud
is a sar and eish. If you lit a fire on the plane and it got burned, we can discuss Talmud. But over here, you're... What?
You're magic. If you were away, you thought you were throwing away a $20 cake. You're a shamar cake. The rest was
gold. I mean, it's silver and gold. Isn't that like a case where...
Very good. Oh, so we have two different svaras. You're saying a svara that you thought it was a cake. You didn't think it was... You didn't think it was... Good. So let's take this piece by piece. What? Right. So there are two separate issues we have to... Actually, three separate issues we'll have to deal with. The first issue is the issue of Marek, in the case of the diamond. You agree to watch a piece of jewelry. Now, normally to watch jewelry, what does that mean? You make sure it doesn't get stolen, you make sure it doesn't get lost, and that's about it. What you didn't realize is the diamond was loose, which means you have to watch it like a hawk, because it can, at any moment it can just pop off and you'll never find it. So what happens when you agree to watch something thinking it was an easy, simple job? What you didn't realize is the item was defective. There was an added level of complexity, and you needed to watch it much more carefully. Zogt the Maharik, you're not a shomer. It's a shmir b'tayus. Just like if you buy something, you buy a car, you find out the transmission's shot. It's a mekach toyus. You wanted to buy a good car. You didn't want to buy a lemon. So you have every right to say the deal's off. Take back your car. Give me back the money. Who I did over here? You agreed, even if you're getting paid, you agreed to watch a regular piece of jewelry. If it turns out it's defective, it's more difficult to watch, you never accepted this shmira, and therefore you have every right to say, I have never accepted this responsibility, and I'm going to be potter. Wait, hold on. So this is the psak of Ma'arik. The Sha'ar Mishpat takes issue. He says like this. He says it depends on the case. He says, if the owner knew it was defective, and he gave it to you without warning you, he said, then I agree you're going to be potter. But not because you have the right to undo the whole shmira. The reason why you're potter there is that a shomer is responsible for damage that he caused. Or he's responsible for damage that comes because he didn't do his shmira. Over here, it's the owner's fault. He was pesheya. By him giving you something where he knew it was loose, he knew it could pop out at any moment, and he didn't warn you. He didn't tell you how you're supposed to be guarding it. He is pesheya ba'atzmai, and therefore, in the Shai Mishpat, in that case, I agree, you're going to be pater. However, what happens if the owner himself didn't know? He didn't know. He bought a piece of jewelry, he was busy, he said, listen, go watch this for me. He had no idea. Zok the Shai Mishpat, in that case, he said, he argues in Ma'arik, and he says, in that case, a shomer sachar, you take responsibility, you get something, part of your job is to inspect the item and do whatever shmira it needs. And therefore, Zok the Shai Mishpat, if you can establish that the owner knew about the defect and that caused the loss, you're going to be potter. If you can't prove it, or if the owner didn't know about it, then he argues on this idea of a shmir b'toyus, and you're going to be responsible. Now, there's another very big nafkamina between Ma'arik and the Shai Mishpat. What happens if you take the item, and you're a shomer sachar? You're negligent. You're presheya. And something happens to it. So, according to the Ma'arik, since this whole shmiru was b'toyus, had you known about this defect, you wouldn't have agreed to watch it. Therefore, it comes down to Ma'arik, even if you're completely negligent, you never became a shomer in the first place. Someone who's not a shomer has no duty to care for something. If you're not a shomer, there's no chiv of pshia. If you're mazik b'yadayim, that's one thing. But simple negligence you're not chayav for unless you're a shomer. And therefore, according to the Ma'arik, since you never became a shomer in the first place, even if you're negligent and that causes the loss, you're going to be potter. You're holding it because because you thought it was fine. You thought you were a shomer. At the time, you thought you were a shomer. But now that we realize there was something defective, now that we realize that you were not given all the facts, and this is much more difficult to care for than you were led to believe, so now we know you were never a shomer in the beginning, and even if you were negligent, you're going to be potter. What
are you?
You're nothing. You are a stranger holding on to someone else's thing. What?
So you just let go?
So like this. So Aruch HaShulchan says, going back to the other svara, you can't be a mazik. And therefore, if you know about the defect and you leave it someplace, sometimes you'll get a malz mazik. But as a shomer, you accepted responsibility to watch a normal piece of jewelry that required normal care. Now that we find out that it required much more, you're not a shomer. Now, for example, let's say you're on the plane and you get hungry and you cut the cake and you see the diamonds. So according to the Ma'arik, since you never accepted responsibility to smuggle things through customs, you agreed to bring a cake. You didn't accept to do a smuggling job. You're no longer a shomer, and even if you're a pesheya, you'd be potter. So this is the first point. The first point is that whenever you accept shmira, the job is more difficult than it appears. So if the owner knew about it and didn't tell you, certainly there's no chiv. If he didn't know about it, if neither party knew, then it's a machlokes. According to the Sha'ar Mishpat, you're going to be chayiv. According to Ma'arik, you're going to be potter.
It's negligent. Only negligent to that
I mean, to what level?
According to the Ma'arik, you're not a shomer. And therefore, you have no duty to watch it. And if you have no duty to watch it, unless you be a dayim, take it, and are mazik it, you have no responsibility. The case is, there was something that was inherent, there was a flaw in it that wasn't obvious. You can't just make your own assumptions and then say that you're potter. The case is, normal jewelry or normal diamonds are in a certain way. We realize now that this is defective, it requires much more care, and therefore you have every right to say, I never accepted to do this kind of job. That's the next point. The Ma'arik's case, and this I want to make clear, that what we're talking about here is, the difference is in the level of care it requires. A diamond that is in well, you just have to watch the ring to make sure the ring doesn't disappear. A diamond that's loose, you have to be very careful that the diamond itself doesn't pop out. So it requires more work. It requires a higher level of shmir. That's the Ma'arik and the Shai Mishpah. The second issue, and that's what we'll discuss now, is what if it's the same amount of work, but the difference is in the value? How to watch a cake and how to watch diamonds. So if you're smuggling it, we have an issue that smuggling is a more difficult task than delivering a cake. But let's assume that's not the case. Let's assume you knew you were smuggling diamonds, but you thought it was $10,000 of diamonds. Now you find out it's $150,000. What is your responsibility? Are you responsible for what you thought it was worth or what you were told it was worth? Or are you responsible for the actual value? So this leads us to the Mordechai. The Mordechai in Eis Reish Zion discusses a case where a person borrowed a sword from his friend. The sword, it turns out, was a very valuable sword, and it was lost. Zok the Mordechai, based on the Gemara we had this morning, that the halacha is that if you give a shomer something to watch, and you tell him, watch my silver item. And eventually the item is lost, and it comes out that it's gold. The halacha is you only pay the value of silver. That's what you believed you were taking responsibility for. You don't have to pay. You're not responsible for more than the responsibility that you accepted. So since at the time when you got it, you were under the impression it was worth silver, that is your liability, regardless of the fact that we know now that it was made out of gold. Mordechai says the same thing is true. If you lend someone a sword, or for that matter, you lend someone a computer, he thinks it's worth a certain price. It turns out that it's worth more. His liability is limited to the value that he expected at the time that he borrowed the item. Now, the Marshal says this can't be. Marshal says, if you give someone an item, he says, Bishlam, in the case of the Gemara, you told the person, can you watch my silver? When you tell the person, can you watch my silver, you're telling him, watch this for me, and take responsibility for something of silver. So there, you have limited liability. However, in the case of the sword, you just handed the person the item. You didn't make any representations of what it's worth. You didn't tell him that it's only worth X. So there, Zog the Marshal, you take something, you don't have to know what its value is. As soon as you take it, you have full responsibility. Whatever it's worth, that's what you have to pay. So Marshal understands our Gemara that the reason why you only pay the value of silver is because you told the person, watch my silver. Since you told him watch the silver, even if it's worth more, even if it's really gold, your liability is limited. But if you didn't say anything, you just gave it to him and he assumed it was silver, and it turns out it's gold, Zog the Marshal, you're going to have to pay the full value.
What if no one knew? Like, for instance,
Hold on, we're running out of time. Now the Shach and the Taz and Siman Ayin Beis make sort of a pshara. They say it depends. If you hand someone a diamond, now he is, and it gets lost. He comes back and says, I thought the diamond was worth $1,000. We tell him, who are you to think what it's worth? Diamonds, you know, some are worth $1,000. It could be worth $10,000. It could be worth $100,000. We have no way of knowing. If you take an item that you don't know its value and you make an assumption, you're responsible for the full amount. It's only in the Marshal's case where all swords are worth $100. That's what every sword was. There was something crazy unique about this, which a normal person had no way of anticipating. So there, if you're giving someone a unique, an antique, which has very valuable, you have to tell them. So it'll really depend on the case. If you give an item that there's a range of values, and the person doesn't bother asking, he's responsible for the full value. But when you're giving an item where every normal person would assume it's worth $100, and this one punkt is unique, it's autographed, whatever it is, and he doesn't know about that, there the Taz and the Shach say that extra amount you're not going to be responsible to pay for. Now, based on this, it would seem, if you gave the fellow a cake, and you told him, bring it to Eretz Yisrael, he accepted responsibility for a cake. Cakes cost $15. He never accepted responsibility for $150,000 worth of diamonds. So L'chaira, in this case, he should be pater. The problem is that we just went through the first few lines of the Gemara. The Gemara continues. And the Gemara says this whole halacha is in Hilchos Shmira. I ask you to watch it and you don't, and it gets stolen? So if I told you to watch the silver, you're not responsible, even if it's worth gold, you're not responsible for the extra value. However, what happens if I tell you watch this silver, you take the item, and you throw it into the fire? You're mazik it b'yadayim. There the Gemara says, what do you pay? You pay its full value. Because it's true you had no idea what it was. Who asked you to throw into the fire? Who asked you to be mazikit? Bishlema, when you're a shomer where something gets lost, why are you responsible? Because you accepted responsibility. You became a shomer. So if I told you it's silver, you're never going to be responsible for more than what you accepted. And that's why your liability is limited. But when you're mazikit b'yadayim, when you take an item and you're mazikit b'yadayim, we don't care what you thought. If you go over to someone's car, you take an axe and you smash the window. Can you say afterwards, I thought it would only cost $200 to fix? No. Who asked you to be mazik? You're mazik. You pay for whatever it is. Therefore, the Gemara says that this whole svara is in the Hilchos Shomrim. When you're mazik b'yadayim, even though you thought it was kesef, you're still going to be responsible. Why? So, but the svar is there. By Shmira, you're responsible because you accepted liability. We have to look at what you accepted. Mazik, you're responsible because you smashed his window. Forget the cake. Let's say I was sitting next to you, and I got all annoyed. You have a cake all over you're using up half of the overhead compartment. I took the cake and I was mazik. How much would I pay? Either $150,000 of diamonds.
He wasn't mazik.
Well, that's a mazik. It's gone. It's, you know. Okay. All right. We're out of time. Let me just. Okay. What? That's true. It's true. As shomer, you're off the hook. But what gave you the right to take the diamonds and throw it in the garbage?
What if you just left it there?
Okay. Good. You know what? We're out of time. This halacha is we didn't finish yet. There's another couple of twists over here. So don't. If this happens over the next week, don't paskin.
Two quick questions. One.